Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here to wrap up KER Politics. In the segments behind us, we've been just talking pretty much about what's going on economically with the banking system, etc. In this segment, we're going to wrap up by talking about what's going on politically. Going to touch a little bit on the president, the vice president, and of course, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. Jimmy, you want to start us out?
Yeah, so it looks to me like the Biden administration right now, the Biden regime, if you will, has really been having to, they're facing some very serious problems. And the more problems they face, much of them self-inflicted. Those problems that they face right now, though, that rather than trying to do take effective measures to solve them, they're basically trying to gaslight the public and tell them everything's okay, and they continue to basically try to cover up. And of course, they've got the entire, if you want to call it the deep state, you want to call it the administrative state, whatever you want to call it, you've got Washington bureaucrats that are, including law enforcement agents, that are continuing to protect these people. And here's an interesting thought. Most of the federal statutes, statute of limitations for these federal crimes that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden have been involved with are about 5 years. So what you're seeing is a stall mechanism where they can't be prosecuted if they don't bring charges forward within 5 years. And you know, some of this stuff began happening in 2016 and 2017, right at the end of the Biden administration, the Obama Biden administration, and then those years after. So there's a concerted effort, it looks to me, from the Department of Justice and some of these investigations to protect them through the federal statute of limitations on some of these financial crimes that they were involved with. Of course, treason, there's no statute of limitations on that, but that would be a very tough political push to get in America right now. So a lot of what you're seeing right now with the House Oversight Committees, with the Republican-led House Oversight Committees, weaponization of government, and of course the Comer investigations on the overall oversight committee, and then of course you know the CDC and what the federal government did there. A lot of that is getting the information out, beginning to show it, but the media is not really playing it, and of course it's just dragging time out. It's not really solving any of these problems. That is what we have to really think about as a population, as a country. How do we address these core issues with, you know, in voter fraud, in border and crime? How do we address those with this very powerful pushback from the Biden regime, which really doesn't care much at all of what the public thinks anymore? They're going to push their agenda and engineer the population the best way they can, and it's becoming embarrassing for many, but there are still people out there that listen to them and believe them because the mainstream media corporations are backstopping them.
Well, thank God we've got freedom of speech in this country right now. Otherwise, you and I certainly wouldn't be here. And quite frankly, neither would any of our listeners. And we got quite a few listeners. Again, if you want to make any comments on what we're saying, go to our website, KER.com. Jimmy, it's really kind of sad when the Vice President of the United States goes to a local college basketball game and gets routinely, I don't want to say routinely, but gets very adamantly booed. I hate to see that with that Harris, when that happens. And Kamala Harris got roundly booed right now at a game that was, I believe it's part of the NCAA tournament, isn't it, Jimmy?
It was. It was Howard University, her alma mater. And so she went and unfortunately for America, she got booed. I think it's politically fortunate that she did because it shows the dissatisfaction with this regime. But I think the more embarrassing part of it was listening to her speech when she was talking in the locker room to the players after they had lost the game. That was almost pathetic and embarrassing, and it really shows that we are willing to, that America in general is willing to elect anybody in this government, even no matter how incompetent they are, if they have a D behind their name. And of course, that shows the manipulation of the population.
Jimmy,
because she just really does not represent the presidency well, the United States well, or even herself.
Jim, what did she say in the locker room after the game?
Well, I won't go into detail with it because I can't really, I can only paraphrase, but basically it was just an embarrassing kind of commentary. And, you know, you guys are really good. And they were all very silent, just sitting there going, wow, lady, we lost. And she put in a little wisecracks and her little laughs that are somewhat embarrassing. But almost on a daily basis, Kamala Harris does something embarrassing to the office of the vice president.
Right. Okay, continue on, James.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that are happening politically right now. You know, Mike Pence is coming out, and I think we talked about it during the week and in some of our shows, but Mike Pence is basically saying, hey, Trump was absolutely wrong on January 6th, and history will never forgive him for that, and he's going to go down as, you know, being such a problem. So Mike Pence, in preparing for his presidency run, is willing to actually go back on his own personal statements, both in December and January 4th, 2 days before, saying that we will do whatever it takes to get legal votes out there to investigate and let the Americans be heard. And of course, it looks like a coordinated effort by Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, and Mike Pence, to declare an emergency on January 6th in order to change rules to not allow motions to go forward that would have called for audits in the key states with their electors because of the problems identified in the election. Now, what we know, and this is based on some theory out there, that bottom line is we had significant problems. But the theory right now that is becoming more apparent is that, in fact, the Department of Justice, the FBI, was somewhat involved in stirring events at the Capitol on January 6th, and that the House, Nancy Pelosi is responsible for security, did not allow National Guard to help secure it in spite of the White House and the Department of Defense offering multiple times to ensure safety and security of the Capitol. And of course, they did everything they could to blame the sitting president at the time. And of course, that's continued on with the January 6th hearings and committees. And what we've seen is a tremendous amount of information that shows that, in fact, there's a different possibility of how the media portrayed it than what was actually, what actually happened in many, many cases.
You bet.
It was a bad day. A lot of people did things they shouldn't have done. They should be punished for that. But also you have to look at this in the context of the frustration that people are seeing. And this is what the Democrats do not realize. They are pushing the limits of the American people through ignoring their concerns on crime, on the border, on foreign policy, on Ukraine, on so many issues right now, on inflation. And as they ignore that, they are risking complete either collapse of our system or potential political annihilation in the next, hopefully, in 2024 election.
Well, I'm not worried so much about the 2024 election, just with some of the events that are occurring around the country. What I'm very concerned about is continued violence in this country. I mean, I lived through the violence that went on in Washington State. That violence basically tore our country apart. That violence was instigated to a large extent by the progressives. I don't want to see that happen again.
You got to agree with you, Al. And this is what people forget. They marched on the White House, burned down the church in front of the White House. They marched in over 200 cities around the United States, burned, looted, killed, murdered people, destroyed billions of dollars worth of private property and businesses. And of course, that isn't looked at as undermining the nation. But January 6th, for some reason, where you have people that had legitimate reasons to protest and went to extremes. But for the most part, they didn't burn down the Capitol. They didn't do much destruction.
No, they
were very frustrated. They wanted an answer. They were ignored.
Exactly. We got to cut it out, you guys. We're out of time. We're on a clock by 27 radio stations. Stick around. Give us some comments. We will be back next week. Tell us what you want us to talk about.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.